Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
When a young woman named Desiree vanishes without a trace, the trail leads to Kat Torres, a charismatic influencer with millions of followers. But behind the glamorous posts and inspirational quotes, a sinister truth unravels. Binge all episodes of Don't Cross Kat early and ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me here, the wonderful, irreplaceable Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. How you doing today, baby?
Hey, you know, it's just another morning in my childhood bedroom, just enjoying this lovely week of Passover here at my parents' house. We are here today to talk about The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion Part 3. Before we get any further with that, though, we have three shows left on the Mounting Hysteria Tour. It's been a wild and wonderful ride. We are going to be going to Austin and Dallas in early May, and then we're going to be going to Las Vegas. Those are going to be three wonderful shows. Go to watchforcrappens.com to see the exact dates and to get your ticket links and to find out the whens and the wheres. We're going to have a great time. Help us send out this tour on a high note. Now, we may have two shows that we may add, but we are still waiting for all the business of that to be settled. So for right now, the only thing we can tell you is that these are the only three shows left. So go check those out. We'd love to see you there in the audience. And then, of course, also check out our Patreon, where you can stream video. Our crap is on demand. You can't just stream any video, just us. And so you can watch us, not just listen to us. And also gain access to our weekly bonus episodes. This year, we have recapped The Traitors, and we've also recapped The White Lotus on our bonus episodes. But sometimes we just do a chit-chat, you know, sometimes we just talk. Sometimes we do what we call airport snaps. Sometimes we do a trailer trash. It's all over there at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. And that, I think, is all. I think that's all the big announcements I have for today.
Great time. So let's get to Reunion Part 3 of Reunion Beverly Hills Season 14. Here we go. Yeah. Glad they made this three parts. We really needed it. No, two-part reunions at the most.
Yeah, this third one was supersized. It was not only three parts, but yeah, if it felt long, that's why.
Yeah, also it's been like 20 hours they've been sitting in this room. They've been sitting in this room for 10 days.
They look exhausted.
Jennifer Tilly. Furious.
Jennifer Tilly looks like she wants to be out of there. She's just sitting there like chewing on candy in the corner, giving people looks like, oh, really? And just ready to go play some poker somewhere.
Jennifer Tilly has diabetes by the time she leaves this reunion. She's eaten so much candy by the end. She's like, why is the room spinning?
Yeah. And she doesn't really have anything to do. Like, she says a few lines here or there, but she's basically like, why am I sitting here for so many hours? Why have they not excused me yet? I've got nothing to do.
Yeah. So we pick up where we left off, which is where Dorit is poke. I'm giving Sutton a little poke. Sutton, do you like a little alcohol with that? Would you, Sutton? Would you? And finally Sutton's like, Dorit, I do not need for you to tell me that there is more to life than a big bank account. There are also big cars. There are big houses. There are big children, which thankfully I don't have. I calorie control my children. Okay.
I mean, I don't understand why you think you're superior to anyone. And Sutton is like, well, I don't think I'm superior to anyone. Oh, maybe just you and maybe anyone who's poor. She's like, well, you certainly behave like it. And I know you're used to buying people and buying gifts and trying to joke around. But Sutton, there is more to life than that.
What world am I trying to buy people? Everyone look under your seat. You've got $1,500 purse or something. I wish they had included that Sutton bought everybody like $1,500 Gucci purses or whatever the hell kind of purse she bought. I don't know what kind they are. Okay.
Yeah. So Zahn's like, who have I tried to buy? Who? She's like, well, you throw around your money, quote unquote, money, whatever those green rectangles you carry in your purse are, what allegedly that is called cash, I wouldn't know because whenever I have it, it's stolen out of my bag.
Yeah, and we mentioned this on the Crappy Hour show, but Dorit and PK apparently paid like $300 to get their mortgage back in good standing. So good for them. But at this point, they had not done that. So she's very mad. And Sutton's like, who have I tried to buy? Honey, how do you like that? I just said, honey, because you've said honey a lot to people in this episode. There, finally, Sutton has arrived. Sutton is now at the reunion. I said honey in a sarcastic way.
Oh, here she comes. Here she comes. And Sutton's like, well, you've been calling people honey all day. Okay. And so Jennifer's like, well, I'm going to say that Sutton is very generous. And I don't really feel like she really tries to buy anyone. Like, she'll give people gifts and things and like that. You know, it's like small little trinkets. Like,
And Kathy's like, yeah, she's frugal. And Erica's like, oh, now Kathy's calling her cheap. You called her cheap? Call her cheap again, bitch. It was good. That was a good one, Kathy.
So Garcelle's like, what? She's definitely not cheap. I'll say that. I'm not going to say much this reunion, but I will say Sutton is not cheap. And so now we're talking about the 4th of July party. Garcelle, you accused Bo of being Dorit's spokesperson. And now Garcelle's just like, oh, like Garcelle's just rolling her eyes like, oh, I had another question for me. Let's just beat up Garcelle. Just bring out a bat.
Well, is there a part of you that should be pleased that Dorit has a spokesperson who can deliver her message succinctly? And DeBo's like,
I thought that was a funny question. Yeah. And she's like, well, look, I was having a bad morning. All right. Listen, I woke up to find that my screener for Black Girl Missing was missing. Do you know how difficult it is to call a Black Girl Missing office and say Black Girl Missing is missing? It's very confusing.
It's missing squared. And Garcelle, yeah.
She's the like, original well, it wasn't name like- for the title. I had to explain to them, squared doesn't mean doubled. I mean.
Well, I had a very difficult morning and I gave a copy of Black Girl Missing to a friend and I said, here's a present. It's Black Girl Missing present. And then my friend said, is it missing or is it a present? I said, it's a present. So Black Girl's not missing. I said, no, Black Girl's missing. So it's not a present. I said, no, it is a present. Went on for about 30 minutes.
All right, let me just rephrase that. Black Girl Missing here.
I'm missing my Black Girl Missing present.
Where is she missing from presently?
And that's the last time I tried to give Dorit a screener. So she's like, look, she came over and said, like, hey guys, what's going on? And Bose is like, oh, really? Well, you're acting like there needed to be an investigation, huh? And what I knew was Sutton wanted to leave. And the question was, why is she sitting there? That's what I wanted to ask. If she wanted to leave, just let her go. Let her go.
Well, I didn't ask him to chase after me either. Well, I know you didn't. And so that's why I even went in the after show when you said I was you basically said I was an angry black woman, basically. And Garcelle's like, what? And Bo's like, yes, this one said it. She said it. And so we see a flashback.
Stop yelling at me. I can't hear through all the yelling. What are you saying?
You're so aggressive right now.
You're so aggressive. Please don't hit me. Please.
Which, for the record... Yes, Bo's literally never yelled. So we see the after show, and Sutton is telling Jennifer Tilly and Garcelle. She says, I mean, I'm like, what did I do, Bo's, to make you almost angry at me? I didn't understand where that was coming from.
I cannot believe that Sutton's reaction wasn't like, I didn't call you angry. I called you almost angry. It's very different. Am I not allowed to call people almost angry anymore? Now,
look, she didn't say angry black woman. It's almost as if of that phrase... It was a black woman missing.
So, see what I did there? See what I did there? Stupid Sutton. I mean, look, Sutton should know by now. Like, come on. Seriously? This is not your first time in this rodeo. What the fuck is wrong with you? And then she makes it even worse because she goes, well, I don't remember you were saying angry without it almost at the beginning. She's like, oh, you did. And Garcelle didn't even pick up on it. And she goes, well, I didn't even hear it. You know, I'm hearing it for the first time. Sometimes when you're friends with Sutton, the best thing to do is just tell your ears, no. All right?
Yeah,
don't listen.
And yeah. she's like, I wasn't calling you an angry black woman. I was just saying, you know, maybe almost angry. And Jennifer's like, oh, here's what she said. I hope that this helps. Hold on. Okay. You know, Werther's originals are hard to chew, but they're hard to swallow. So anyway, here's what she said. I don't know why she's so angry at me. There, I hope that I fixed it.
Bose is like, then Sutton goes, well, because you were kind of yelling at me, which is like, okay, Sutton could have maybe gotten away of saying like, well, you seemed a little angry at me, which Bose was not actually angry. Bose was just like, why are you acting like this? But then when she says you were yelling at me, Bose is like, she's like, oop. There was not a yelling. So she's like, see, now you got to straighten up. Because I don't say I was yelling, because I don't yell. No one has ever seen me yell here. And she goes, okay, all right. Let me phrase it. You were strong and aggressive and yelling and angry-like and super angry and scary-like. Okay, is that better?
Okay, next time I'll just say I wish we had metal detectors because I'm about to get killed with a weapon by a very angry, upset, screaming person over there. So stupid like, Sutton is nothing. Like, and look, I know we're making light of this, but like Sutton's just an idiot. I mean, like, what are you going to do? There's no standing up for Sutton on this one, okay? But we're not even going to do it. It's idiotic. No. You know, I think that this lady clearly was not angry. And it's very Sutton. You know, I guess if there was a defense for Sutton, it would be like she does this to everybody. She accuses everybody of yelling at her. I mean, even in this reunion, when Garcelle's like, this really hurt my feelings, Sutton's like, I know, they all hate me. Like, it's not you. We're not talking about you. But Sutton makes everything like she's the biggest victim in every situation. Everybody's yelling at her. But still, like, she should know better than to be, and especially when being called out on it, to be like, oh, well, I didn't call you were angry. I just said you were yelling at me. It's like, oh,
yeah, the yelling was actually worse. When she said you were yelling at me, like, that's, like, the angry thing is already wrong. But like she could have said like, no, I'm not saying like you're an angry person, whatever. It just felt like you were like, you seemed like there was some friction or whatever. I used the wrong word. But when you start saying yelling, there's like just not even any evidence.
She just compounds her problems, you know, fucking stupid. So basically she goes, well, okay, let me say it this way. You came in strong. Can I say that? And she goes, well, I am strong. And Sutton's like, well, okay, well, but you didn't know what was going on. Okay, which maybe you could hear if you weren't screaming at me right now. And Buzz is like, oh, well, it didn't take a rocket scientist to understand what was going on. You were sitting there crying by a door. And Andy's like, okay, well, here's what it was. I'm just going to say, because it was so good. I love this part. What a great season. Garcelle said, asked about Butt Sutton's drink with watermelon, and it became an alcohol discussion. So, Buzz, did Dorit mean the comment about the alcohol as a harmless joke? What was your reaction to that?
No, I think she was intentional, but I told her that she knew what she was doing, because I invented intentionality. And Sutton's like, she knew exactly what she was doing, but I told her that. Remember, didn't you hear what I just said? I told her that. And so Sutton's like, yeah, but it's been a 2-year thing that she's been doing.
Oh, what is that? That I'm making it look like you have a drinking problem?
She says, well, yeah, keep bringing it up, Dorit. Just keep on bringing it up on camera, Dorit.
Oh, am I the only person in this group who calls you an alcoholic? I don't think so. I don't think so. Who thinks Sutton is an alcoholic? Anyone? Anyone? Did I say severe? Did I say severe alcoholic? What? Do I seem like I'm saying alcoholic too much? Are you seeing the word alcoholic doubled because you're drunk?
Well, here's one that you did do, Dorit. On Instagram, someone commented, Sutton's behavior changed on a dime because she's a drunk. And you commented, hashtag facts.
And Sutton goes, oh, yeah, facts. That's what she said. She said facts. And Dorit's just like, ooh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I don't really know what to say about that. I will say that when I did it, I was sober.
That helps. To be fair, here's really what happened, Andy. I enjoyed that comment so much, I wanted to fax it over to PK. So I told Siri, please fax this, and instead she wrote down hashtag facts. So it was a simple misunderstanding, and I never would have written that down, even though it is a blatant fact that Sutton is an alcoholic.
I meant fax Sutton, and tell her she's an alcoholic. I was trying to help you.
So she's like, you know, it's funny, Sutton. It's funny. When she does that, like grabbing a little mosquito out of the air.
It's funny. Because this narrative that I'm perpetuating actually started from you. It started from you. Do you not remember when you did press in 2020? I have it taped up in my closet. There's no clothes there anymore. And I said, and you said, I have my first drink at 10 a.m. Do you remember?
I was joking. Okay, listen, I was joking. Okay, first, I was drunk when I said that. Okay, it was a joke. I mean, COVID or something like that. I don't know, 2024. What year was that?
Ooh, do you not remember? Do you not remember when you said it?
It was Dorit,
shut up. Like, Dorit's not even wrong about some stuff. I'm just, by this point, it's 3 hours of Dorit. Now, Dorit is yelling constantly in this. Call her angry, you know? Tell her she's yelling too much. Dorit's just, like, going on and on about nothing over and over again. I'm kind of sick of Dorit. I do like that people pointed out the threads that are pulling up her face, though, because that's all I can stare at now. And I'm like, I want threads. How do they get the threads in there? I want that. I just want threads and to come under my skin and just start pulling my shit up. Just they don't take the skin. They just pull it in a different. I would look like this with threads.
Yeah, soon. Like soon you can do it. So Dorit's like
the reality is that the reality is that is the reality. And you don't want to make it a big thing. Then don't do what you do, which is get drunk all the time.
And Sun's like, well, that's my business to talk about. Okay. If I want to get drunk in the morning, in the afternoon, at the night, all times of the day, that is my choice. And Dorit's like,
well, how am I supposed to know when you were joking and everyone's making jokes about it and you're walking around with a big ocean spray, the most obvious sign of alcoholism?
No, an obvious sign of alcoholism would be walking around with vodka, which I don't doubt that Sutton does as well. I feel like Sutton probably walks around with little airline bottles of vodka and with ocean spray. The point is, I'm allowed to say when I'm an alcoholic, not you, you know? And they don't really do it. So they just like go around in circles about this, like, oh my God, are you an alcoholic? Why can't I make fun of you for being an alcoholic? Why am I not allowed to make fun? You talk about it all the time. And so she's like, well, you know, if I wanted to paint you as an alcoholic, I would have done a hell of a lot more than what I've done. Do you understand me?
She's right. Because she just would have walked into a party and said, oh, look, there's Sutton Strack. She's a severe alcoholic. Like PK. So Andy's like, is that a threat?
Yeah, why do you make a threat like that? She's like, it's not a threat. Is it a promise? It's not a threat or a promise. It's a joke. And by a joke, I mean a threat and a promise.
And by a joke and promise, I mean it's actually something very serious that Sutton admitted to in 2020.
So Andy's like, okay, well, I mean, listen, you know, to be fair, Sutton, this only did come up one time this season, you know, and that's kind of true. She made one little joke and then Sutton made it a big thing like, oh, she's trying to insinuate I'm a alcoholic.
Well, also in Dorit's defense, if Sutton's going to be like, if Sutton writes down something, tweets out something like, oh God, it's 10 a.m. I guess it's time for my first vodka. Like this is the lifestyle, right? Like the ab fab kind of thing when locked up in COVID. Then like, is it possible that Dorit was just trying to like kind of yes and her a little bit? I mean, I don't think she was. I think it was passive aggressive. But you know, like like Dorit had that defense too. Like if you're gonna say it's a joke, then Dorit can say it's a joke.
Well, yeah, I mean, Dorit, you know, Sutton walks around calling her poor and Dorit walks around calling her a drunk. And that's just kind of their thing. And then they get all moral against each other because one thing is supposedly worse than the other thing. But I don't think it is. And also Dorit's big thing to use against people, because she used it against PK all year, is that they're an alcoholic. Well, you know, watch your fucking mouth. You live in Beverly Hills. Who's not an alcoholic? Have you driven? I mean, they can't even, they have a 5-way stop sign in a circle with no lines. What do you think that means? That whole town was designed by an alcoholic. Have you seen how that town's laid out? It makes no sense.
It's not smart. It's a triangle in it. It doesn't make sense. So Andy's like, well, the low blows continued.
They call something a post office where no people who deliver mail could ever live. It's a confusing place.
Just try to drive around like Rodeo and Beverly and all those Daytons, and everything's going in different directions. It's really a shit show in there.
Who do you think named a street Rodeo and then insisted it was called Rodeo? A drunk person. Okay. Why don't drunk people get enough respect? Drunk people do things too. Okay. Drunk people contribute to society. Get off our asses.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Everyone has that friend who seems kind of perfect. For Patty, that friend was Desiree. until one day...
I texted her and she was not getting the text. So I went to Instagram. She has no Instagram anymore. And Facebook, no Facebook anymore.
Desiree was gone. And there was one person who knew the answer.
I am a spiritual person, a magical person, a witch.
A gorgeous Brazilian influencer called Kat Torres, but who was hiding a secret. From Wondery, based on my smash hit podcast from Brazil, comes a new series, Don't Cross Kat, about a search that led me to a mystery in a Texas suburb.
I'm calling to check on the two missing Brazilian girls.
Maybe get some undercover crew there.
The family are freaking out. They are lost.
I'm Chico Feliti. You can listen to Don't Cross Kat on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At 24, I lost my narrative, or rather it was stolen from me. And the Monica Lewinsky that my friends and family knew was usurped by false narratives, callous jokes, and politics. I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen, and ultimately you triumph in finding it again. So I think listeners can expect me to be chatting with folks, both recognizable and unrecognizable names, about the way that people have navigated roads to triumph. My hope is that people will finish an episode of Reclaiming and feel like they filled their tank up. They connected with the people that I'm talking to and leave with maybe some nuggets that help them feel a little more hopeful. Follow Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Reclaiming early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Well, Andy is like, well, the low blows continued because Lisa Barlow described Dorit as pretty. And Sutton said, when you've had enough surgery, anyone could be pretty. And then Andy said, Dorit then hit back and said, why hasn't Sutton done it yet then?
That's pretty good. And Sutton's like, oh, she hit back hard. That was hard. Do you know how hard that hit? That hit harder than a shot of vodka without ocean spray inside of it. See? She's like, well, what's going to happen, Sutton? You're going to hit. I'm going to hit back harder. She's like, oh, another threat. Terror level orange. Dorit's in my ass.
No, it's not a threat. I'm letting you know.
And she goes, and he's like, so it's a promise.
Oh, okay. Kyle's like, yeah, guys, it's a promise. Yeah. It's like, okay, got it. Thank you. Those days are done now. I'm done with the threats. I'm here to the promises.
So Sutton's just like doing her lipstick in the reflection of a flask she's pulled out of her purse. She's like, I don't think we're going to get anywhere. Okay, can we just get going with this? Thank you. Move on.
All right. Well, things came to a head in St. Lucia when Erica said that Sutton has a tendency to kick women down at their lowest. And Jennifer, you know Sutton the best. Do you see this as a pattern of behavior that the other women are talking about?
Well, I haven't really witnessed that, and I have known Sutton for a very long time. But in this group, you know, it does seem like maybe Sutton is asking questions of people when they're not really in a place to answer the questions. You know, maybe if someone is extremely poor or down on their luck, Sutton will say, what is it like being poor or down on your luck? I remember one time Dorit said, you better watch your mouth, and Sutton said, what are you going to do, come after me with your Salvation Army? So maybe, you know, maybe it just hits wrong if you don't know Sutton very well.
Yeah, well, this is Erica speaking, not Andy, and I just like to say, sometimes those questions hurt, okay? It's like, well, other people in this group also ask you questions, Erica.
Yeah, and they're like, and Garcelle's like, oh, yeah, she knows that.
She's like, yeah, I do know that, you know, but we're talking about you right now. Okay, we're talking about you, Marco.
So Sutton's like, oh, really? And did Kyle and Dorit also kick you when you were down? Because I seem to remember I wasn't the only one kicking there, okay? There was a lot of kicking. Those were not only my feet, okay? Ballet is not a one-person sport. We were all in there pirouetting all over your stupid poor ass. Am I right?
Well, we're talking about you right now because we like to protect each other, so we're only going to talk about you. And I've already cussed them out privately. By cussed them out, we just sort of had some
lot pastries, and by lot pastries, I mean a few crumbs, because we don't have more than that. And then we just laughed. And Kyle's like, yeah, she didn't feel like we supported her as much as Lisa Rinna, but like we never kicked her when she was down. We just did a few performative questions on camera so that the audience would think that we were holding her up to some sort of standard.
So Erica's like, oh, whoa, we're not railroading this. This is my question. Listen, I didn't have much going on this storyline, so shut up, bitches. All right? We're talking about what happened in St. Lucia and why I feel what I did and why I said what I said. And I said what I said because I feel what I feel and I ate what I ate when I said it. So everybody understands.
I am what I am.
So well, Andy's like, well, what's the difference between them kicking you down and her kicking you down? And Kyle finally is just like, it's intent. It's intent.
Yeah, and Andy's like, okay, so you think her intent with you and with Dorit and Kyle was to humiliate me. It was to force a reaction out of me, as opposed to Kyle and Dorit, who just wanted to ask a few softball questions. That way America wouldn't get mad at them.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Coffee from Cup on Twitter says, Sutton yells and throws tantrums when people clock her hypocrisy and bad behavior. Garcelle, what's your response to that?
And she's like, well, I mean, sometimes, you know, what, I don't know, it depends on who's pushing their buttons. I mean, I don't know. Why are we still doing this? Is this over? Have we had lunch yet? I'm exhausted by this. I've been hurt. I've been very, very hurt in this reunion, Andy, and I don't really care about this anymore.
And he's like, are you okay? And she's like, I'm pissed.
And she says, he says, what are you pissed about? And she's like, all of it. You know, since I sat here on this couch, I don't even want to answer any more questions, honestly.
Do you feel like people are piling on Sutton? I'm not thinking about Sutton right now. I'm thinking about me. I've had to answer 3 or 4 questions that were a little bit unpleasant. So I'm just pissed. I'm really pissed right now.
So Sutton's like, oh, that's great. This is a me segment, good or bad. Okay, no press is bad press. Shut up. So I think that I get very rattled by this group. So I feel very not well liked. You know, much like a rattlesnake. What do they ever do? Rattle, rattle, rattle. You chop their heads off? Really? What if they're nice?
Listen, I want to like you, son. I just want to trust you, too. She's like, well, it seems to me like you don't really like me, and you don't really want to be my friend. Are you looking at me? What, you think I don't like you just because I just think you're a piece of shit and garbage you kick women when they're down? I mean, nah, whatever.
This was so good when Erica changes the whole thing, and Son's like, you don't like me, too.
What in the world would I have to do to give you that impression, son? We're like sisters. I mean, come on, we're like granddaughter, grandmother. You know, you're like my mamaw. I don't hate my mamaw, even when I think she's wrong. Sutton, you've always got gum in your purse, and by gum, I mean vodka.
I mean, look, just because you remind me of all the traumatic aspects of growing up in the South doesn't mean I don't like you. It just means that you make me feel a pit in my stomach when I see you coming, and I don't want to ever talk with you, and I actually try to run away from you. But I like you.
Well, then, why do you say that I kick women down? You do kick women down, but who cares? A lot of people kick women down. I mean, please, how many people have you seen over the 2 years begging for their money back that I told to go fuck themselves? Now, listen, kicking women is fun. You just got to choose the right women to kick. Not me. Do not kick me down.
Listen, I have a great heart, as you will soon see when I tell everyone that I'm not willing to see my dying husband as he enters the last few years of his life. I have a great heart. And I'm moving forward with my life, and I'm in a better place. So, you know, hooray for me, ha!
So Sutton's like, well, I guess I can do better. You know, and I did feel a little bit ganged up on the boat. And Kyle's like, but no one said anything except Erica in that moment, so I don't even know where you're coming after us about it.
Grasping onto her crystal. She's like, crystal!
Dorit said something, and it felt like I was being ganged up on, because I've been ganged up on in the past, okay? And Kyle's like, yeah, and it doesn't feel good to be ganged up on. I know for sure, everyone. And Erica's like, you know, I've been ganged up in the past, too. It doesn't feel good. We've all. Everyone's doing the, everyone's doing, like, so have I. They're all just trying to take away that, like, Sutton felt ganged up on by basically nullifying about, like, it happened to me, too, bitch. Well, not they seem true, to get to have though, a victory.
I mean, of course, they all make it about themselves, which is what you're saying. But Sutton's making this about herself too, because it's like a Garcelle quote. Garcelle's like, "I'm furious. I'm not answering." They're like, "Okay, just ignore her and go back to what we're talking about." But yeah, they're all the biggest victims in the room. But that is also kind of part of the show, right? It's like,
well, Kyle loves crying. to say
Kyle's like, well, I've been ganged up on too. And yet Kyle is more than happy to take 25 minutes on like a reunion every single year to be like, it was just like really hard for me because I just felt like I've like no one had my back. And I'm here just like trying to share with everyone. And like no one's listening. And all I'm getting is just like, I'm getting it from all angles. And like I open my mouth and I hear it from this person and that person and that person. It's just like really hard. It's just hard because I've got daughters and I don't want to ruin their lives. You're like, she gets to have the floor for 20 minutes talking about how she gets ganged up on. And the moment that someone else says like, well, I felt ganged up on, even though Sutton was completely not ganged up on, when she says I felt ganged up on, Kyle completely does not let her have the floor and have her moment.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make this a Kyle issue. I'm going to prosecute Kyle over this. That's all
one. This is the episode where Kyle does that monologue too. It's like, oh God, here we go. When she started that shit, I was like,
I'm just kidding, here we go.
The annual Kyle cries and talks about how mean everybody is. So then Dorit's like, Sutton, you have to recognize. If you can't recognize, there's no way forward. Now, what is this? What is this piece of fruit? It's an orange. Congratulations, you recognize one thing in the world. Now, I do want a way forward with you. I do want a way. And she's like, well, what do you want me to recognize exactly? Hello, you go. Hello. Hello, you go. Hello, can you go? Limbo, limbo.
Well, I did go low. 100% I went low. I went almost as low as your bank account. But I promise I will not do that ever again.
Now, I did go low. But unlike you, I did not overdraft. So do I get credit for that?
You know, as Michelle Obama said, when they go low, you run away because that means they're probably poor.
All right, let's leave it there. All right, Garcelle, before we move on to a package about how the world has hurt Kyle, I wanted to ask you, you're steaming over there. Steaming! So I want to know if you wanted to... I'm allowed to say steaming, right, guys? Am I allowed to say steaming? Anybody? Okay, good. I just want to know if you want to tell me what pissed you off so much. And she's like, well, all of it. Is it because I said... I'm really not sure. Sutton, could you just take these questions and ask the most offensive things possible?
Okay, Garcelle, why are you yelling right now? Can you control yourself?
It has to come from Sutton. So she's like, all of it. He goes, but all of what? And Kathy's like, well, I wasn't here, so I want to hear what's going on.
Well, I don't want to get into it, but I don't think I ever get any grace in this group. I didn't feel it today. We talk about accountability. I stand by the things I say. And even though I'm taking accountability for them, it's not accepted. It's not. Not one person looked at me and smiled. It's like you can't even accuse someone of orchestrating their own home invasion and their trauma anymore.
I mean, when can you, if you can't just tell someone, you know, you think they're a lesbian on TV and then they get mad at you and you stand by what you said and they just don't get over it. I mean, absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I'm assuming she's saying she wanted she wanted Sutton to stand up for her a little bit or like have her back or someone, right? But said she just left there hanging out to dry.
I mean, I think that that's true. I think she's also just like, fuck these fake people. You know what I mean? I said my truth and now we're just going to pretend like nothing was ever said and they're just going to go on fighting over this stupid shit and just ignore me now, you know?
And she's also probably like, you know, you call me boring, but you're the ones who are hiding all the good stuff in your lives and then you're going to make it seem like I'm the one who's at fault here. You know, when I'm trying to show you everything I can, I just don't have much going on in my life. I made a movie and I built a house in Oxnard. And you're going to call me boring when you're the one who spent the entire season getting wallpaper and you still won't give a straight answer about Tom Girardi. And you're the one who is like crying about your marriage falling apart. We spent all of last season complaining about your husband and flirting with another person. And then you're going to deny any of that. And then you don't even want to bring it up anymore. You shove it in our face and then we can't even talk about it. But I'm the boring one. I'm the one who's at fault here for this show. That's probably what was going through her mind because I know me and I would probably do the same thing.
Well, yeah, but the problem is it's Housewives and she needs to say that because
like, she does need to.
She's just
this
like,
is, well, this is her fatal flaw.
You know, her whole thing is like, I'm pissed. And then she's just going to shut down, which is her right. And, you know, as we were saying last week, she's loses either way, right? Because then she does get mad and tell everybody off and they're going to be like, oh, there she goes, falling into the angry black woman trope and all of that stuff. But I don't know. I need more than just like, well, I think she should have been like, fuck all of you guys. I don't want to be here and walked off now instead of waiting until the end because they're going to call her a professional either way.
That's the thing with this entire show is that everyone always kind of bites their tongues. In moments like these, it's like, I don't feel supported. And then someone like walks off, you know, as opposed to like Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, where instead it would be Lisa Barlow ugly crying and being like, I said everything to you today and you didn't say anything back to me, and this makes me really feel really fucked up. This is really fucked up right now. Like, that's what we need.
Yeah, and I get that Garcelle, you know, look, I get it. But I also think, like, maybe this just isn't the right environment.
Because, well, I think Garcelle's also like,
you got to come in and, like, give it back. Like, if someone's going to shade you, you have to be able to shade them back. And if Dorit says, you know, well, how dare you insinuate nobody else thought that my house was robbed by PK or whatever, you could be like, oh, really? Then why was your debt to Bellagio paid off after 2 months when the insurance money came in? And why, mm-hmm. you know, like, give all the evidence we've all been reading online for the past couple of years, you know? But to just be like, well, that's my opinion and nobody, like, you know, nobody accepts it, it's like,
Garcelle has already got 1 foot out the door because she's got a successful, TV movie venture that's happening right now. And she sees the light of doing things that are more creative and more fulfilling with people that she likes more. And she's like, you know what? I'm not going to flame out my professional reputation over these stupid idiots. So I'm just going to shut my mouth, get through the end of this episode, and then it's goodbye for me.
I think that's a good point. That's probably what she did, because she's like, Lex, I've used the show better than any of you have, actually, to advance my own career away from this show. So I'm not going to blow it for you idiots. Like, I'll just sit here till the end and then I'll leave. I'll just say fuck you by not being in a picture.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to it. She's like, yeah, no, you know, like, no one smiled at me. And Andy's like, well, do you think maybe it's because everyone's stressed that it's a reunion? She's like, no, whatever. And Kyle's like, I mean, yeah, because, like, you know, maybe were you smiling at people and then they weren't smiling back? And Tariq just goes,
I was smiling when I first got here and then it all changed. And Andy's like, okay, well, it's not okay. I mean, you're upset. And Garcelle's like, it's okay. It's okay. I'll smile at other people and I'll get those smiles back. Because you know where they do smile back at you? Oxnard.
It's like, okay, cool. Let's go to commercial.
And they're sitting there and Sutton's like, I mean, you said you're not answering any more questions. And she goes, no, I can't stand them all. So no. And Sutton's like, oh, God, they really hate me, don't they? They really hate me. Can it just be about your friend for 2 seconds? Why is everything fucking about you? Oh, my God. Someone called you a drunk.
I know.
All right, welcome back to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion. These women might be known as the housewives, but this year there is not a wife in sight. Whether they were getting their flirt on with their private chefs or massage therapists or boat captains, we're just going to scrape the bottom of the we're just trying to use up the last of scraps of footage to cobble together a fun and games montage. Here you go.
Yeah, so it's funny games. Oh, my God, they're so horny with the man hands people. And Kyle's like, guys, that was more like the real horny housewives of Beverly Hills. That was almost as good as Angry Spice, Kyle. How long do you have that one saved up? So then they basically make little small talk, like, who should Dorit be with? And they're like, oh, some pretty young thing and all of that.
I like that Bose had to say, when Bose was like, oh, Dorit needs to be with some PYT. And everyone just sitting there like, what? Pretty young thing. Okay, everyone, come on, keep up.
And Erica goes, oh, I thought you meant something totally different. Something. What does she think?
Pat, you're tushy.
What did Erica think she meant?
What is PYT is only one thing, right?
I think so.
I wanna love you, PYT. Which we all know stands for plebeian yo-yo toddler.
Yeah, so they talk about their rosters and nobody will basically admit to fucking anybody. And Jennifer Tilly's like,
well, I wish that I had slept with more above the name titles. I've mostly slept with just squishy comedians and character actors, you know. Everyone thinks that actors automatically get laid here, but they don't, not the ugly ones. So it's sort of my mission, you know, it's my reason for being here. Give the ugly guys a chance.
I'm like, well, it worked out for you.
She goes, yeah, sometimes they can even animate.
When she said strange, squishy comedians, that was such a specific turn of phrase. And yet it did, like, it painted it exact. Like I imagine going to, like, the improv and I know exactly who she's like, the type of guys she's talking about. She's like,
yeah, only non-famous people for me.
So this is Erica was trying to squirm out of the fact that she said that Garcelle had peaked by being like, "Wow, your roster is amazing. All I've got is a cannibal and an old fraudster. So good on you, girl."
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Some people get a wild haircut or book a spontaneous trip when life throws them a curveball. But Molly? Well, she dove headfirst into a world of no-strings-attached sex, secret rendezvous, forbidden affairs, and unforgettable adventures. And together, we tell every juicy detail in Dying for Sex, Wondery's award-winning podcast that's now streaming on a TV near you, starring Michelle Williams and Jenny Slate. And to top it off, we're dropping brand new bonus episodes where I sit down with the cast to spill all the spicy secrets. Desire, friendship, self-discovery, and the ultimate bucket list of pleasure. This is a story that had everyone talking. Listen to the original Dying for Sex and brand new episodes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge the original series before anyone else and completely ad-free on Wondery Plus.
So now the big questions. Kyle, it seemed like a big moment when you removed the word wife from your Instagram bio. Has anyone sledded into your DM since then? I wanted to make it more of a sporty kind of a phrase. And Kyle's like, I like men and women. Yeah.
Anyone interesting? No. And Erica's like, yes. But of course, Kyle's not going to share that because, you know, the rules don't apply to her. So, and he's like, well, okay, cool. Well, before we close this out, one more question, ladies. Okay, Bose, you're excluded from this. Who do you think is going to get married first? Does anyone care? Does anyone here in America care? No, but we're going to ask this question anyway. Who's going to get married first? And then they all think, Jennifer says it's going to be Kyle who gets married.
Yeah, they all say Kyle.
She's the one who can't be alone. I mean, have you seen the woman trying to cook salmon in her house without children there? It's pathetic, Andy.
And Kyle's like, I do love being married. Oh, I love that. So then we talk about Erica's son, the cop, testifying in the ASAP Rocky trial. And she's like, oh, yeah. He texted me, said I'm going to be on TV, boss. Thought I should tell you. And I said, well, by the way, I should tell you I'm still being sued by four people. Just kidding. I didn't tell him that. Hey, what the fuck does he care?
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, I found out about that the night before. Like, he gave me a text. It was really cool, you know. I was sort of pissed because I really made it 10 years on the show without having to show my son. But, oh, well, I guess you got to show something about your life once in a while. You know,
yeah, and she says, the one thing that came out of this Tom thing that was really good, other than the earrings, which, of course, still wear, is that, you know, the police were called to my house so often that I got to see my son more. So that was good. I mean, I would have only seen him more if he was a plumber. God, I can't even flush pee in that house, Andy. Not even pee.
You know, I got to say, one of the fringe benefits of this is that I became much more, much, much closer with my son. And now we have a beautiful, beautiful relationship where we sit and we talk. And he gets to really see the real side of me. And I see the real side of him. And there's a beauty that's there. And through him is how I truly understand empathy. Anyway, fuck y'all. You don't get to see it on TV.
You know, my son doesn't want to ride my coattails. He doesn't want to be famous because mommy's famous. He's going to blaze his own trail by testifying in celebrity trials. So good for him. I said, if my own son can't make it as a famous cop, nobody can.
I like that she's talking about him like he's in show business.
I know.
She's like, yeah, he doesn't need me. He wanted his own path. And now he's famous on his own, testifying against ASAP Rocky.
I don't know. It just like drives me crazy how they really gate so like these huge portions of their lives, all of them on this show, or at least the Fox Force 5 do. And then they get mad at Garcelle for not being interesting. It drives me nuts. They just will not talk about the big things in their lives at all. Like, and it's like, this isn't even scandalous. It's just her son. Like, you have a son. This would be interesting to learn about you, you know, but no, of course not.
So then we talk about the pizza party therapist who said, that's not pizza party behavior. And she's like, you know, these women have known me being married and being a huge pop icon and going everywhere in private jets and holding up the walls of a crumbling, crumbling marriage, Andy. So, you know, just seeing me be amazing again, I think it might be hard for people, Andy. I think it might be hard. And Andy's like, well, have you divorced Tom? And she's like, no, you know, it's funny. It's funny, you know, I don't have to answer for that other than my divorce attorney reached out to me and was like, we need to get on this. And I was like, just wait for him to die. How long can it take? You know what I'm saying?
And he's like, well, in August, Tom was convicted of wire fraud relating to embezzlement. And, you know, and he's pushing for hospitalization instead of prison. Yes. And Martin does promise to do the wallpaper. Okay, cool. And do you ever think of visiting him? And she's like, well, I thought of visiting him, and this is going to sound cold, but I'm going to visit him when he passes away. I'm like, yeah, that does sound a little cold. Like, it's funny because she's made a great effort not to throw him under the bus during all this, like, in terms of the crimes, et cetera. I guess maybe because it could implicate her. But she has, in many ways, protected him. She said that, oh, it turns out he was terrible, and yada, 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 and I believe her completely on that. But it is.
She's still dealing with his mentally incapacitated defense that she tried.
She has like been. Yeah, she has like pushed also kind of a sympathetic narrative of him at the same time. Like it's the man you see is not the same. It's very sad. Da, 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 da. And I don't know. Like for me, I have a weird reaction where it's like, you either divorce this person and you move on with your life and you do your thing. But if you sort of are staying in this and you're still kind of being protective over him, but then you won't. You kind of won't see him in his dying days. I don't know. I felt that was actually really, really cold. I mean,
yeah, that's
like,
shitty.
Still and a human she, being goes, just like rotting away.
Then she's like, I mean, why even talk to him? He's not even there mentally. So it's like talking to somebody who's not even there.
I mean, geez, so you don't go visit patients with dementia? I mean, my goodness.
No, that's what I was thinking. It was just that's like, horrible. God, if that happens to me, I fully expect you, Ronnie, to be there in about 40 years. So to be
I
like,
will be.
Ben,
I'll be like, hi, Ben, it's me, Danny Pellegrino. How's everything been going?
Like, Danny.
I'll be like, hi, it's me, Park Overall. God, I brought you these cookies. It'll be someone new and Park. Fabulous every time.
Park. Oh, my God. You could just do 80s sitcom stars. Did you know this? Here's something that has nothing to do with anything, but I just discovered that Eileen Graff, who was the mom on Mr. Belvedere, she was Sandy in the original run of Grease on Broadway. She wasn't the original Sandy, but she was like the second Sandy. And she played across from Richard Gere. Richard Gere played Danny Zuko at one point. So just imagine that. The mom from Mr. Belvedere, she played the love interest to Richard Gere once, and that just goes to show anything is possible. Just put your mind to it, guys, and then hope someone discovers it like 40 years later.
Yeah, so basically she won't go see Tom because he's got a mushy brain anyway. So she's kind of an asshole. I think the reason she's not divorcing him is obvious, right? That guy's got money hidden someplace. That guy's got a lot of money hidden. I don't think Tom is like a non-money hider. I think he's going to pass. They're going to give it a couple of years and she'll go dig up that money somewhere. Obviously, I don't know anything, but I'm just assuming that that man was so good at stealing money. Men who are good at stealing money are also good at hiding money. And she's like, well, I'm going to keep all of my wifely privileges. Thank you very much. Yeah. I'm just not going to do anything to, you know, earn them.
Yeah, this whole response was definitely hit me. I don't know. I was surprised how much it struck me that like it left a real sour taste in my mouth. Because like I understand too, if it's like it can be hard if there's someone you love and you don't want to see them in a state of utter decay. But like I don't know, it's weird. It's weird to be in this middle area that I think that she is in, where she hasn't said, you know what, I'm moving on. I'm very sad for what's happened with him, and it's in my past, and I'm going to go forward. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird to me. The whole thing is weird.
Yeah.
So Erica's like, you know, yeah, I've got nothing to say to him. I'm not going to get the questions that I still have. So what's even the point of visiting the old fucker? Anyway, that's going to be the third. So it's sad, and I worked really hard to make my peace with it. And by worked really hard, I mean I called up Martin Lawrence Ballard and said, but give me a couch. And he did. And now I feel better. So, yeah, nothing could come of this.
And, okay, well, you know, Tom has been convicted, but you haven't been charged. So have any of the people who turned their back on you come back around? And she's like, oh, no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. And I don't know that she really had any friends that we've ever seen.
I was like, who turned their back? Who turned their back? If we knew her friends, we would know.
Yeah, the ones she pays for are still there. Mikey and Laya. So then we go to commercial and Jennifer Tilly sitting there and she's like,
oh, well, isn't this fun? You know, I just had 3 bites of a corn dog that I found outside. It's right outside the studio. It was delicious. So.
Where did, you don't just get errant corn dogs outside of buildings in LA. Where'd you do that?
It's probably that's, on like
that's
a
called
cart.
Being rich.
You know, yeah, it's like a studio card or something.
That's called being rich. So Andy's like, ah, welcome back. Okay, Will Sutton has given us so many comedic moments. We don't have to name him. But nothing was funnier than watching the way that her mother, Reba, totally destroyed her in Augusta. Let's take a look.
Yeah, so we see the whole Augusta journey again. And Andy's like, how does it... By the way, it was kind of a... It was a rough one because, I mean, it goes from, well, I've been raised by a narcissist, you know, going after Reba and then the whole Garcelle being like, well, Reba, I think you should talk to your daughter, and her being like, huh, I think that is none of your business. You know, and the whole thing, they went through the whole thing. And so Andy says, how does that make you feel watching it back? And she's like, well, that was just so special to me. So I can see how that would be special, but there was a lot to unpack in that clip. She's like, what a great clip.
It was quite a great clip.
Thank you.
You know, unfortunately, you missed the part where we all sat and laughed and watched as Kyle Richards tried to go jogging in the Georgia humidity. That was so fun, watching her pass out on the side of the road, almost get run over by a four-wheeler. Anywho, so she says that it was like really, she had really good closure from being in that room and talking about it, and forgiveness is really important, and she just knew she needed to forgive her dad. She didn't know she even had to, but then she realized she did. And then, but she has not talked to Reba about the episodes. So I'm really hoping there's a camera, a real meta moment where a camera can capture Reba and Sutton talking about Reba's portrayal on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah. And she's like, I'll go home in April. So we'll talk then. Well, you're a brave friend, Garcelle, sitting with Reba and saying stuff that she needed to hear. And Sutton's like, I told her, I warned her, this is not going to go well, Garcelle. And then I hid behind a column and I watched it all go down. And then I had my hands up in the air in case I needed to flee and say I was not involved in this, mommy.
Well, I was scared.
Well, you handled it very well. You didn't break a sweat, unlike Kyle Richards. That's when she tried to jog in the Georgia heat. Am I right, everyone? Look, I'm getting in on it.
So Garcelle's like, yes, even though I know people had opinions about her, she was actually very sweet, and I would take her crusty old ass over anyone else in this room right now, to be honest.
Well, baby, from Ruth on Twitter said, of course, Kyle would get along with Sutton's mom. She grew up with Big Kathy. So, Kyle and Kathy, do you see similarities with Reba and your mom? I'm sorry, did Reba ever cook screws into a hamburger to try and kill one of her mates? I mean, allegedly from book House of Hilton, in case anybody is wondering where that comes from.
Kyle's like, well, I do appreciate the comparison, but unfortunately I did not get to meet Sutton's mother, which is too bad. But I did get to meet the lovely cook in that house. Kyle, that was my mother. Are you sure? I'm pretty sure that was the cook. That was my mother.
And Kyle and Kathy are both like, no, 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 no. Nothing like mom. Nothing like mom. I mean, our mom was amazing. And Erica goes, well, I can tell you, it was like staring at my grandmother. Just staring right at her. And we see photos of Erica with her grandmother. And she's like, you know, it was generational. You know, those were steel magnolias. Who could have used a better hair salon? You know, I'll tell you one thing Reba could have used. The steel magnolias. All right. Shelby, drink your juice, Shelby. Drink your juice.
Does it make you understand Sutton anymore? And why are you... Why is Sutton choking on the floor right now? Erica's like... Yeah, I get it. You know, she's got through a lot. Sutton's gone through a lot of trauma, and having a therapist as a mom, that doesn't make anything peachy or great. But, like, you know, for Garcelle to sit there and say this to someone's mom and for her to say, that's none of your business. I mean, I swear to God, my grandmother was resurrected. In Sutton's face, that is, of course. She looks way older than I do.
You know, Santa was worried about seeing a mom. I said, just don't see her. Wait for her to die and see what she leaves you. That's how I deal with old people, Andy. That's how I deal with them.
And Garcelle says she didn't have closure with her dad. And so that's why she wanted to talk to the mom. So Sutton had a better ending, you know. And Sutton's like, you know, I need to put this in my mother's perspective. You know, it kind of looks like I'm blaming her. And, you know, I am. But maybe she was scared. You know, there's more to the story.
Well, yes, she grew up with an alcoholic for a daughter. Could you imagine? Bring your daughter to work a day. And they're like, is that girl drunk?
Well, Jennifer, as close as you and Sutton are, what did you learn about your friend from watching? It's like, oh, it was very brave of Sutton, and also for Reba to play this out on television, and that it's very important to be open about these situations and just to never speak about them ever again.
So what has the experience taught Sutton about herself? She's like, well, I think it has shown me that my mother deserves nothing better than a pool house, and I want to do better. I just want to make Erica like me more. That's what I learned. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's great. Okay. Well, thank you for opening that hilarious and depressing part of your life. I know that was really tough on you. Hilarious for us. Okay, cool.
Okay, so then we go to a Teddy acknowledgement because Teddy's been so sick. So they talk about Teddy a little bit. Speaking of cold, oh my God. So they're talking about Teddy, and Andy's like, so has everybody been in touch with her? Like to say, you know, hope you get better or whatever. And Dorit's like, no, you know, I did a little something on Instagram. She said something about cancerous tumors, and I replied, hashtag truth. No, hashtag facts. And then I realized that was supposed to be on a certain post, so I deleted that. And so that's pretty much it. Because I figure, listen, here's the odds. If she gets better, I'll talk to her then. So what the fuck is that? Like, she basically said, like, I'm not talking to her because she's really in the thick of it right now. And that's not really when people need your support. You know when they need your support? When they're healed.
Yeah. She maybe she was trying to like reinforce her argument in the beginning of the season that she's not that close with Teddy, and now I think that's pretty evident. So Andy is like, well, our thoughts are with her. Okay. So after last year's bombshell separation between Bravo's golden couple, Kyle found herself stuck between her old life and her old face. And then suddenly a photo came out in Greece of a girl kissing Mauricio. Let's take a look.
Whoa, so, whoa, whoa. Oh, no, I dropped my crystal again.
Oh, God, Kyle, Jesus.
Literally put the fucking crystals down. Okay, that's your third time. Three strikes and you're out. You cannot handle crystals anymore. Okay,
I haven't don't seen act a crystal like drop this hard since the end of last season. Am I right?
So we see a very long montage just scrolling through these flashbacks.
I can't with any more Mario. I can't with any more Mauricio. Was he cheating? Was he not cheating? Why is Kyle always hinting that he is cheating and then not talking about him cheating? So she watches that and then, you know, basically watches a 20-minute montage of her accusing Mauricio under the radar of cheating. And he probably did. I mean, let me just say that right out the gate. Well, she's like dabbing her eyes.
Yeah. And she's sad. And Andy's like, well, where are you and Mo currently in your separation? Is anyone filed? She's like, no, we're just like literally the same. Like, we're close and we talk all the time. We're having the best divorce in the history of mankind.
Like, we literally talk to each other every day, you know, but I feel sad for my kids. You know, all they have is like $100 million business to take over that they work in with their dad every day. I mean, when are they going to see their dad? You know?
Do you think you're mourning your old life?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I used to have a life where people knew how to open the second French door and move chairs through doors and things like that. And now I have to do it myself. So yeah, I am mourning a little bit. It's just like, listen, I mean, it's sad no matter what. And it's weird. You've been with somebody for 30 years. It's just sad, you know? Like, we literally talk every day. We love each other. And I just feel sad for my kids. Like, when I look back at what a great life we had, it's a loss. It's sad.
It's a big, big loose, Randy. Huge, huge loose. Yeah. It's like the time Sutton was looking in her bag and she couldn't find the vodka in there. It was a huge loss. She almost lost her shit, Andy.
So Kathy says that she actually wants to see them reconcile. She's like, I just don't like things changing. I don't like to see things change. And Sutton's like, yeah, Kathy still wants me to reconcile with Christian.
He's rich. He's just so rich. I didn't say Christian. I just said a Christian. That's all I want.
So Kathy is, yeah, she's just like, I like things to stay the same. And so Andy is like, all right, well, Coffee Cup tweeted in again. Amazing. Got through twice and said, this is a little heartbreaking when Kyle asked about the towels. It was her way of saying, I want to take care of you. It was also her way of saying, the scope of my life is so small that all I care about is towels. Anyway, Mo said he's good. And then last year, you seemed so angry with Mauricio. But then this year, do you have regrets about separating from him?
And so, I mean, you know, I regret for both of us allowing to get this place. You know, like, I wish we communicated. And she's like, do you think, Jennifer's like, Kyle, do you think that Mo regrets it on some level and wants to get back together with you?
And she's like, well, I mean, he regrets things that got us to this place. But, you know, I mean, he doesn't want us to get back together. I mean, would you? I mean, have you seen how he lives? I mean, the man has two towels and his own condo. That's all a man needs. I have kids.
I love Kyle saying, I wish we had communicated better leading up to this. I'm like, I seem to remember like many scenes where he was like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she was like, nothing. I don't want to talk about it. So
she says that the show isn't what brought them apart, but he was actually her biggest supporter on the show, basically doing the show. And that now he has all this money and fame and the agency is growing and he's getting all this attention and women are snakes because they see a man who's a good husband and good father and he has money and they're like, oh, I want that. So they just throw themselves at him. So
I love Kyle.
How can we blame him for anything that he might do when the women are the shitheads?
How can we blame a man for having his agency over his own reactions? Kyle, who last episode was like, guys, I am a girl's girl. I am totally a girl's girl. And like, how could you ever say I'm not a girl's girl? Women are snakes. Women are snakes. And they're jealous of my man. She's so full of it.
Yeah. So she's like, you know, we married so young, he didn't get to do his thing, you know? And so now he's out getting to do his thing. So I guess that means sleep. I don't know if it means sleeping around or just partying, you know, if like now he gets to party, but that should be something you guys can do together. Like now you're both rich. It's not like it's just him being rich. That's the good thing about being a couple. You retire and you go fucking, I mean, I know he's not retired, but you get rich and you go party all over the world.
I don't know. I think that he's partying now because he's now divorced and now he's like set loose on the world or separated. And, you know, he's going to have his midlife crisis and all that crazy stuff. But I did not get an indication last season that that was the driving force behind her wanting to like pull away from Mauricio. It wasn't like that was like the storyline, like, oh, he's partying. He was traveling a lot, that's for sure. And she's very, you know, she has a hard time with that. But I don't know. I just feel like
he was traveling for work and all that stuff.
It feels like a different story this time around. And I don't know. I feel like there's more to it, which is like what we all feel, I think.
Well, there is. She admits that. She just says she's not going to talk about it. So then she's like, you know, like, I don't want to party like we were in our 20s and 30s, you know, like, I don't want to do that. And so he's like, well, I mean, it was a little wild to see Mo and PK partying with Kyle Cook from Summer House. I mean, wow. What do we think about that crossover, huh?
Yeah, that is kind of a wild thing. I'm surprised Whitney wasn't there, too. So Andy's like, were you surprised by that? She's like, no. She's like, but see, those kind of, Kyle's like, those kind of things, they're like, I'm just like, yeah, if I'm seeing those videos, let me tell you, I'm like, no. I actually need those reminders to know that I'm doing the right thing right now.
He goes, wow, you don't have any FOMO? Wow, have you ever partied with Kyle Cook? He's fun.
And Kathy's like, I would be so jealous and hurt, but she's not. she's not. So then he's like, well, your life is quiet. Do you want to leave the house ever? And she's like, well, I was about to buy a house actually across from Lisa Vanderpump.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing. He's like,
please do it.
You know, Lisa Vanderpump wants that, too. Like, oh, come, please come over, Kyle Richards.
Kyle's like, literally, the bedroom looked at her driveway, and he's like, come on, you got to do it just for the show. Season 50. She's like, I went back, like, three times and like with the contractor to add things and then also to, like, throw eggs at Lisa's house. But, like, I just didn't do it in the end.
Yeah, so... Sutton was not shy about speaking her mind when Kyle's marriage, or Garcelle, what were you thinking when Sutton brought up Mauricio's alleged infidelity? She's like, oh God, me again? I was just doing a Wordle over here. Well, I was shocked. We'd heard stuff in the press. I mean, well, Mauricio's cheating. Shocker! But no one's really spoken about it, and by no one, I mean Kyle.
And last year you kind of alluded to something on this reunion.
Yes, she did.
And so we see flashback of Kyle basically saying, like, there was something that happened. I'm not going to say it, but something happened that made me lose his trust in him. So Andy's like, well, I was surprised, like, you were acting a little obtuse about it on the show. And Erica's like, obtuse? Ha! That's a choice. By the way, what does obtuse mean?
Oh, wow. She won't answer your question. So now we're calling her fat. Great. Good one, Andy. Damn.
Listen, everyone. I have my daughters to think about, and this is something I care about. My daughters are going to grow up to be snakes someday, and I'm not here to hurt anybody or throw anybody under the bus, but everybody in our lives is up for grabs, and I'm, like, not here to talk bad about Mo. I don't like when anyone speaks against him. Now, I'll talk about all those bitches who took him away from me. I will do that. But I did feel like that was done intentionally, and that day with Sutton, and I was like, wow. That was like... like she said it wasn't on purpose, it was an accident, but I'm like, no, I don't want to talk badly about the father of my children, except that he has extremely low amounts of willpower when dealing with all the sluts that are out there in Aspen.
Yeah, she's like, I don't want to talk about the husband of my children or the father of my children, but I do want to insinuate that he's been cheating a ton on me and completely destroying me without saying it. I'm not going to say anything, but I'll insinuate it so that you guys all talk about the father of my children. Yeah, it's very Kyle. So she's like, well, I don't even know he was seeing anybody, but before he moved out and got his own place, I used to see all his messages on his iPad. And Bose is like, bloop, what? And Kathy's rubbing her hands together like, yes, yes, she did. So she's not reading them anymore, but they're all like, oh, wow. Erica's like, your close friend is a master detective. And Kathy's like, and your sister. And Kyle's like, well, I don't want to give anybody tips. So men start putting their little things away. Like, this is women's rights.
Wow. That's crazy. So she was going through his DMs and everything. So of course the implication is, like, he was cheating. Although I think she's also saying she's going through the DMs during the separation, or I don't know. Her timeline was like a little gray. But the point is that she was, I think this also goes back to a larger point that has come up before, which is that Kyle has displayed that she is a very jealous person. And it seems like Mauricio has given her good cause. But then she's always so shocked when people are like, why would you make that video with Morgan Wade? And why you're always hanging out with Morgan Wade? And like, what she does with her life is her business. But she always seems so surprised that anyone would ever think that there's like anything going on beyond just a close friendship there. I'm like, but you're the one who's actually exceedingly jealous, who's tracking Mauricio's every single move. And then you're shocked that anyone would dare to even raise an eyebrow what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my question would be like, so these DMs that were so bad, were they before or after Morgan? You know, that would feel like, who started it? I think that's an important thing to ask when people are fighting, you know, like, because from what we've seen, Kyle started it. But who knows, because we don't know any information. So then she says, you know, like, I just want you to know, I do know every fucking crumb. And Andy says, do you still? And Kathy's like, oh, she doesn't care anymore. She really doesn't care. Bullshit. And so she says she stopped looking at, but now they talk about the Aspen photo where he was making out with a girl at the airport. And she's like, well, I don't feel angry, you know? I mean, it was like jarring at first because, you know, it's my husband of all these years. And so he was with another woman, but angry? No, no. Sad? No. Devastated? No, no.
Yeah. And then Andy is like, oh, great. Well, When public speculation went into overdrive, you started to question things, and you even talked to your daughters about it. Tell me about that, because don't forget, Kyle said that she's not a lesbian, but then because the public thought she was, she started to think that maybe she was. So it's basically us that caused that. And so Kyle's like, yeah, I mean,
Kyle, we've thought that you were an asshole for years and years, and you've never considered that. But suddenly lesbianism comes into it, and you take that at face value. Give me a break.
Yeah. She's like, maybe I'm missing something. So then Kathy just starts to crack up because she's like very uncomfortable with this entire topic about Kyle possibly being a lesbian. So she just reacts by laughing uncontrollably.
Yeah. And they're like, what is it? It's like, I mean, it's hilarious. Did you know that people talk about scissoring? Do you know what that is? I've never heard about it before. And they're like, what are you laughing about? She goes, I mean, look, even I talk to my children about it. They're like, about you being gay? And she's like, yeah, I was trying to help Kyle. What do you want from me? She's like, Kathy, please stop talking about this.
Kyle's like, you know, when the chatter first started happening before the music video and all that, I was like, never crossed my mind. But then like, you know, look, I have a very specific type. And I started thinking, am I not seeing that? Is this like a crush? Is it like, did the people make me do this? Did the people turn me into a lesbian? And then Kathy is just still laughing at everything. And Kyle's just trying to, again, kind of like squirm out of this one a little bit, you know?
Yeah, Kathy's like, I talked to my girls and they said, Mom, it's 2013. And I said, wow. And Andy's like, you told your girls you're a lesbian too? And Kathy's like, yeah, you know, and they just looked at me like I was an idiot. And Kyle's like, shut up, Kathy, just shut up. She goes, I don't want any help with this. I was, you know, it's just hard, you know, like everyone was supportive. But then Portia told me, Mom, you buy me amazing cars and there's nothing you can do except stop buying me cars that would ever make me say I don't love you. And Andy goes, that's what my dad said to me when I came out. She's like, I'm not coming out, Andy. I'm just saying, like, I'm questioning, okay? Yeah.
I then asked Portia, does this mean I'm invited to Panera Bread with you and your sister? And she said, no, Mom, absolutely not. But we're getting there. We're getting there someday.
Final thoughts on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Dun, dun, dun. So Jennifer Tilly, what was your most unexpected surprise this season? It can be good or bad. And she's like, my unexpected surprise was how many footage they shoot of me and then only use footage of Kyle. So that was something interesting.
You could probably film 3 seasons of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills put together with what we filmed.
And Kyle's like, oh, don't give them any ideas, Jennifer. I'm like, yeah, please, seriously, don't. And then Kathy's like, well, I had an amazing time. It was wonderful. What was the question again?
He's like, what was your biggest surprise?
Well, I think learning that I was actually a white woman, that was surprising. I mean, all this time, I felt the spirit of China through my veins, but turns out I'm just a white lady.
And Erica's answer is,
I don't have a surprise, but I feel good. I feel good.
Okay. Thanks for being here. And then Bose says she was surprised at everything. Everything. I mean, such a depth of emotion from all the ladies. How deeply they care about each other. How long of a scene you can shoot at a bench by a front door. That was shocking to me.
What about you, Dorit? Well, I was surprised that I think I found a friend for life, and that just how wonderful it's been getting to know Bose and having her in my life, and I honestly feel very, very, very blessed.
And he's like, all right, cool. We'll see. You can't wait till next season when you guys have a huge feud. All right, Sutton, what about you? Garcelle, what about you first?
Garcelle's like, well, I was surprised in a good way about seeing more of Sutton and her mom, you know. That was really revealing and touching in a lot of ways.
Sutton, I think that I'm surprised by how much I love Erica.
Puts up her hands like to cover Garcelle's face.
Pretend Garcelle's not here. I only care about Erica, and I want to go to lunch with Erica. Okay.
That's it. Garcelle's like, wow, glad I wasted my answer on you. I could have plugged Black Girl Missing 37.
What about you, Kyle? Well, I think like what surprised me the most was like, about myself in these moments this year, like walking out of Bose's, I found myself surprised by my own behavior and like not really recognizing myself. And like, you know, on the positive side of it, I feel like really, really strong now. Okay. And I'm just like happy that like I could storm out of someone's house in a bathrobe, but my hair could still look pretty good. And he's like, okay, cool. Well, next season, you'll be living across from Lisa Vanderpump dating who knows who, and I want to finish things off with a toast. On the 4th of July, this drink left a bad taste in some of your mouths, especially the alcoholic sitting right there. Ha, 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 son, that's you.
Jennifer Tilly, why don't you give us a toast? And she's like, oh, well, normally I don't eat toast, but I will say there are friendships, there are, big ships, there are relationships, there are, chips, there's chips. There was a show, Chips, that I actually really quite liked. You know, it would have been nice to have sex with one of those gentlemen instead of the little sheriff man with the Confederate flag on his car. What were we talking about?
I don't know, but I just went to my childhood fantasy of Eric Estrada, and I've kind of checked out at this point. All right, so cheers!
I got Chips mixed in with the Dukes of Hazzard. Sorry.
They're kind of like the same in a weird way.
So they give a cheers and everybody drinks their watermelon drink. And he's like, okay, and now finally we're going to get everyone in this cast photo. And Garcelle's like, I'm out. And she just walks off.
And he's like, what? What? No, Garcelle.
And Dorit's like,
Garcelle, that is really unprofessional. You couldn't.
Dorit calling anybody unprofessional is hilarious. Doesn't Dorit show up like 2 hours late to every single event, including her own, and then call everybody the C word? Dorit, cállate.
Jennifer's like, well, we could put a cut of Garcelle in the cast photo. She's like, just Photoshop it. Come on. And
Sutton doesn't even consider running off.
I know.
That lady left for you for your fake hospital trip last year, and you're just going to sit there and take the picture. She's like, I want to get a picture to Erica almost agreeing to have lunch with me. I'll talk to Garcelle later.
Fuck. I know. I couldn't believe it. I was like, Sutton, go after her. Go after her. So Garcelle has had enough. So she goes into her dressing room, and she's fuming. And she's like, guys, I'm not doing this. Camera person, I'm not doing this anymore. I don't want cameras here. I'm done. I don't want cameras. All right, cameras, you can stay. I just had, gives me 10 more seconds to plug Black Girl Missing number 45.
So Kyle's like, yeah, she seemed like being called out for every little thing, you know, but I mean, that's what we have to do there. Like, that's what we do here. Please don't anybody say anything to me. I have children.
I know. Kyle's one to talk, right? And Son's like, I don't know. She was really unhappy this entire time. And Bo's like, she's unhappy. Look. And Son goes, I don't know. I mean, I guess I could go after her to find out, but that's something that a friend does. And I think I want to start with my new friends, Erica and Kyle.
So Garcelle's back there going, I'm just so fucking sick of it. I mean, they're all fucking assholes. You know, and no one said I understood what you were saying. No one. And the fact that I owned how I felt about her situation with the house. No one liked that. Like, well, again, I don't know what kind of props you were expecting for accusing me.
It's a bold accusation. Robbery. I like that she did it, but it's bold. And it's going to be, you're not going to get a lot of like warmth from that, to be honest. But I think she wanted Sutton to back her up because she's talked shit about it with Sutton before and Sutton said nothing, you know?
Yeah, so she wants credit for being accountable for what she said, but they wouldn't give it to her. And then Erica's like, well, life is unfair. You know, we had it all unfair in this place. You get the shit beat out of you every year. Welcome. Welcome to work.
And Kyle's like, yeah, that was like child's play. I mean, that was really child's play.
So was asking about your fucking marriage, Kyle, which you won't even discuss. Oh, my God.
I feel like there's a joke in there with Jennifer Tilly somehow, but I can't get to it. So Bose is like, I mean, did she say that we didn't smile at her? Kyle's like, yeah, I mean, people were not exactly smiling. Like, we're not going to a birthday party today. Just, it's not cool. And you know what? I say we take a photo.
Yeah, so they do. And meanwhile, Garcelle's like, I'm done. I'm done. It's been an amazing ride. I'm grateful for the opportunity. Garcelle out. See you later, suckers. And so she leaves, and the rest of them take a photo, and Sutton knocks on the door, but she's gone. And she's like, she's late. What in the world? Yeah, Sutton, that's not really support coming when it's all done. Dummy.
Too late. Too late. Because you know it didn't take Garcelle. We're supposed to have supper
because it's Sutton, so that's what she cares about. Like, are we still eating? I mean.
Yeah. No. So that's how it ends. Garcelle leaves. She's sick of them. They're all fake. They're all dumb. They're all stupid. And she's out. Thanks, everyone, for being here this season. What a fun season. I really liked the season of Beverly Hills. I thought it was great. I am sad to see Garcelle go, but I'm always excited for fresh blood. So we'll see how it goes. And we have our recap of the Valley premiere coming up later. We're going to record that right now. So stick around for that. And we'll chat to you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster. It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She gets an A, it's Kelly B.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley. We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose. We're on the floor with Molly Dorsett.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.